Hello, amazing parents and caretakers, and welcome to the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. I'm your family empowerment coach, Celia Kibler. I'm a mom of a blended family of five kids. I'm a grandma of nine kids, an author, a teacher, a speaker, and a consultant with over 40 years of training and real-life parenting experience. I'm here to offer you practical, doable tips, strategies, and techniques that will pump up your parenting skills and create peace, love, and laughter throughout your family. In addition, I'll be interviewing some great humans that are on a mission to make your life a better, happier, and healthier life. So let's not waste any time and get started with the next episode of the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. Thanks for listening. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. I'm Celia Kibler, your host and family empowerment coach and author of Raising Happy Toddlers. And I'm very excited about our podcast today as we talk to Jane Leach, my friend, who is an incredible eco home architect, and she designs homes that make your heart sing. So I welcome you to the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. Jane, happy to have you here.
Oh, it's so good to be here. Thanks, Celia.
So Jane, tell me how your homes make your heart sing. I love that you say that. I know we talked a lot about it before, but tell the audience what the difference is between you and Joe Schmo architect out there in the world.
So the idea of something that makes your heart sing is something that you really love, and that really supports you. And I'm passionate about homes. People should have homes that really support them in living their best lives and their own version of their best lives, so that they almost feel like that home loves them back and has got their back, so that they can go out into the world and do what they want to do, and their home is there, you know, a strong base providing everything that they need to be able to do what they want.
I love that. And so can you give examples? Well, let me ask you first, how did you get into this? How did you go from, I guess you studied architecture,
yeah,
to becoming this like relationship architect?
Yeah. So, to become an architect, you have to go to university, really. There may be some places where there's more of like an apprenticeship type process. But typically you sort of commit to this quite a long course and you go and become an architect. And then you go after studying, you then go into practice and work in practice. And that's exactly what I did. And I worked the very first place I worked. And in fact, I had work experience there from the age of 14. So really, really young. And they specialized in working with community projects and working on community housing projects. And a lot of that work involved community consultation. So going into the communities and talking with people, really understanding what they needed, what challenges they were facing in their lives that we could help design out, and, you know, what they would really love to see in their neighborhoods. So it was much more to do with master planning than individual homes, but that's where I got a lot of that kind of approach to discussing and understanding what people need and want. And then I, you know, moved from there and worked in lots of different other places, including a time that I lived and worked in Barcelona and designed some jewelry shops. I designed a jewelry shop in Milan whilst based in Barcelona. And also I've designed huge multi-million pound new build high schools in which all seems like a different lifetime. And then when I set up my own practice after being made redundant, so the huge crash in 2008-2009 really hit architects hard, and about 50% of my practice I worked with were made redundant at that time. And I decided that I didn't want to work for somebody else anymore. I wanted to set up on my own. and I wanted to go into home design. And actually at university, I did my dissertation was a kind of strangely titled, but it was titled The Change of Status of Women, Women in Society and That Impact on Domestic Architecture. And really, it was an excuse to read feminist literature because I hadn't read anything about feminism and I was curious. I wanted to understand more. And there aren't very many architects who are female. There's about 15 to 21% of architects are female, even though about 50% of architects, of student architects are female.
Wow.
So there's a huge drop-off rate. So there's not a huge amount of female architects to look up to aspire to. There are some, but they're not the majority. It's mostly a very male dominated industry. And so I was curious to understand more about feminism. And so I kind of created this to understand more, but that was really the start of me being really interested in home design and how that related to all these different elements of our lives, you know, social lives, personal lives, all the different aspects like privacy, your relationships, the functional sort of aspects, like what you need to do, you know, eat and sleep and, right, you know, do your hobbies, read your books, crafts, all the different things that our homes have to do is a huge amount. So I think homes are really important places for everybody. And, you know, those are some of the elements that led right. me to this.
Absolutely. You have to be able to live in your home and be comfortable in your home. You're in it every day, you know, and if you hate your home, I mean, that's just, you know, total stress every time you're there.
Exactly.
So, you know, it makes perfect sense. And you're also an eco architect. Am I saying that eco home architect so that your homes are also environmentally friendly, correct?
Yeah.
So that's super important too, because then you're not only designing a home that's family friendly, it's environment friendly. And, you know,
exactly.
we all, in my eyes, we're all connected, you know, we're all one eco unit and, I don't think you can ever separate humans from, you know, Mother Nature and what exists around us because we're all connected. So when you make a home that is equally connected, you're really double blessing, you know, the family and the planet. So love that.
Yeah. Sorry about that. You might hear that was, I just heard a firework going off. It's nearly bonfire night here. And
oh, so fireworks. Yay.
Fireworks going off. So I don't know if you're going to hear any of those.
But that's all right. Let them celebrate our podcast. They're so excited. We're recording this, that there are fireworks in the background. That's so fun. So tell our guests where you are now with the fireworks so they know where you're coming from, where you live.
So I'm in Manchester, UK. So we have the bonfire. I don't know if you know about the bonfire night tradition.
I didn't know about that. That's awesome.
Okay.
Everybody makes bonfires.
Yeah, it goes back to Guy Fawkes, who tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament. I don't know exactly when it was, but it was at least one or two centuries ago. And it's a kind of a celebration that they were caught, him and his fellow conspirators were caught. The Houses of Parliament were never blown up. But then as a sort of celebration, people have bonfires and they stick a guy, you know, like a model person on the top to burn him. I think he was burnt.
It's a wonderful celebration. I'm sorry I never heard about this.
there's another one.
This is great. I'm so glad we recorded today. Listeners, this is a special celebration. So after you're done listening, you go set off your own fireworks and create a nice bonfire. Who don't love bonfires? I love fires. You know, I think I was like a born whatever that is.
Yeah, I was a bit of a pyromaniac.
Pyromaniac, there you go. I knew there was a word for it, as opposed to fire person. So back to architecture. We return to architecture. So don't burn your house down. That's our lesson for today. Burn safely. All right. So now I have to find where our questions are, Jane. Now I'm totally, totally thrown off. The ADD is like kicking in. Okay.
Sorry.
Now I want to hear about his fires. All right. So maybe you should be an architecture fireman, firewoman. Fireman is not socially correct. So let's give some examples of how homes have defined your clients' lives. Like what's, you know, how have you created homes to really make a difference in their lives?
Yeah. So whether we like it or not, our home can define our lives, define how you live. So if, for example, your kitchen is quite small, and you'd really, maybe you've got a family of young kids and you'd love to be able to teach them how to cook and get them involved, bake cakes with them, but the kitchen is too small to be able to do that. You can't safely have children sort of standing up on stools, or, you know, those little movable pedestal things that you can get for children to help in kitchens these days. And it's just not safe to do that, or there's not enough room to be able to do that. Then that kitchen's defining your life because it's preventing you from living in the way that you want. So that's just one example. There are lots of many different examples. And so I've met lots of clients who have felt that, have really struggled. They've wanted something else in their home. They've not been able to live in the way that they want to in their home. They felt really frustrated by that. And sometimes, certainly kitchens tend to be a really typical issue, especially with older properties. So I work a lot with more period properties, so Victorian built homes, where the culturally we've moved on. Things are very different now to how they were 100 years ago, and the way people want to live is very different. And so older homes that were built for, in a different time, a different era, for people who lived very different lifestyles, are not necessarily suitable for a modern life. And so then it's a case of, well, we can adjust, reconfigure those homes to make them support you in living the way you want to live in there.
I love that. I live in an older home, and actually, you know, my kitchen is like a galley kitchen, I guess it's called. And it's skinny, yeah. And it's, yeah, small, and it's horrible. And yeah, my husband and I were just talking about redoing it, because, and switching it around, like where the table is a big square area, and then the kitchen is this little skinny, icky part.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, we could just switch this around, you know, and the big area should be like the actual kitchen, so you could actually move around.
Yeah.
So, I look forward to that one day. And it's so important to, you know, that you're happy where you live, you know, yeah, as we said, it's a necessity, you know,
yeah,
because if you're not, you're always complaining about it. You know, it's, yeah, always an irritation every day, yeah, and yeah, you can't possibly, absolutely, you know, be pleased with what you're doing if there's always something that's irritating you every day.
Yeah, and that's what I aim to do, is to design out those daily irritations and niggles, and particularly in relation to, you know, our relationships with each other in a home. So where you know, couples, even the strongest, happiest couple, can have things that, you know, are a little bit annoying. You know, things, right, that are great that the other does, that some of these things can be designed out or lessened, their impact can be lessened. And I think that's a really good thing to do if you can, to, because if you can design out all those little daily irritations, and that gives you more freedom to enjoy each other. And those little daily irritations, they can have a cumulative build-up effect, and you can start to really resent the other person.
Right, I'm sure.
So if you don't have any of those going on, you can have a much stronger and happier relationship, I think.
Yeah, that, you know, I always talk about parenting on the same page and agreeing, you know, in certain areas of your life that are very vital to agreeing on. And, you know, even in homes, I mean, you may have somebody who's a complete slob married to somebody who is a complete neat freak, you know, and you guys have got to find common ground, you know, and you may have a tight, cluttered home, which you're perfectly happy living in, and your significant other is going insane and they need more space and you don't agree. And that eventually will cause the demise of that relationship. It can't stay that way. So yeah, there has to be compromise and to create a living environment that fits all of you. Even, you know, maybe there's a little room that the one who is just a pack rat can, you know, pack rat in, you know, or, you know, give them a little closet or something to make everyone, you know, feel comfortable. You know, whenever I save something, my daughter's always like, "Mom, you're a pack rat, pack rat, pack rat." She's always going, "Pack rat, pack rat, pack rat." So whenever I'm thinking I'm going to save something, I hear her voice in my head. And I'm like, okay, Lauren would be yelling at me right now. So am I pack ratting or what? So it's, yeah, you know, you gotta know what you want and know what will help the two of you. If you're intent on the two of you staying together, it's gotta be compromise and there gotta be things you agree on and you have to be willing to talk about it. And if you're spending the money to redesign your home, that's a big thing to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
You know,
and that's where, you know, when you're, like I was saying, your home defines you, but if you can define how you want to live and then redesign your home so that you're defining the space around you rather than the other way around, I think that's really valuable to do that. But when it comes to couples and designing out those daily irritations, that's something that I do speak with my clients about, to try to see if there is anything I can help them with in that respect. And the reason that I'm driven to do that is because I'm a single mom. And so one of the things that I found in my relationship with my son's dad was that our kitchen, which sounds very much similar to yours, it's a narrow galley kitchen. And so right from early on when I was pregnant, and I was used to, I've got quite wide hips, so I was used to turning sideways and there being plenty of space to pass. But then when I was pregnant,
this huge space,
I would turn to the side and it still wasn't enough room to pass. And that kind of was the start of, it kind of highlighted some of the cracks in our relationship where, you know, he couldn't get past and it was really annoying for him. And that sort of, that became a kind of a conflictual kind of thing happening on a daily basis when we were both trying to be in the kitchen, making ourselves morning coffee or toast or whatever. And we just couldn't get past easily. And that was, you know, something that I don't wish on anybody to go through those kinds of experiences. So for some of my clients, I've done things like one client, her partner goes for a daily cross-country run with their two large dogs. And this is just north of Manchester, so it's very wet here. Manchester has a nickname, the Rainy City, which gives you some idea.
An idea how rainy it is.
Yeah, so a cross-country run generally can be quite muddy. So they would come back, very muddy condition, two big dogs and him, and track that all the way through the house to get upstairs to the bathroom where he would then clean the dogs off and then get himself clean and, you know, dry and dressed. And so she was really annoyed by this because there's this mud tracked through the house on a daily basis.
I can imagine.
And he was a little bit frustrated as well because he had to go through the whole house to get upstairs to get to the bathroom. So we designed it so that he could come in to a back door where it was like a boot room, cum utility mud room type space.
Yeah.
So he could strip all the muddy clothes off, throw it straight into the washing machine. And immediately off that was a wet room. So he could hose the dogs down, towel them off. And then he could jump into a hot shower himself, because he was a shower person. He loved hot showers, whereas she was a bath person. She loved a bath. So that was another thing that they didn't quite match up. So getting that right for both of them was another thing that we looked at. But that meant that then when he came, he could only then got access into the rest of the house once he and the dogs were all clean and dry. So he was much happier because he got to jump into the hot shower much more quickly and easily. Awesome. And she was much happier because the house is much clean. Effortlessly clean. Right.
That's awesome. That's a great story. Yeah, there's so many things. And I believe a lot of architects would just go, okay, you need a mud room. You need this. You need that. You need, let's design. Here's what your kitchen's going to look like, without taking into consideration those little things that may annoy each other day to day that you really need to like calm the seas, you know?
Absolutely.
And that little thing, I mean, improved their quality of life tenfold, you know, and ended that source of irritation.
Yeah. So I had a business coach who I was chatting with about this idea, and she was telling me that they'd had an interior designer come and have a look at their property, and they were really impressed with how cleverly she'd found some unused space that she was then able to create a huge new closet for them in their bedroom. But she didn't want to do the work because there was no way that she was going to share a closet with her husband. She is a complete neat freak and he would just have clothes everywhere, and she was like, there's absolutely no chance. So it was, although, you know, she was really admiring this designer's talent at being able to create this fantastic space, it wasn't a space that was any good for them because she hadn't talked with them about what they each wanted about with that kind of a space.
Right. And so as right as it seems, it's totally wrong.
Yeah. Maybe right for another couple.
Right. Right. And that's the thing, you know, everybody's different and you really have to consider all those things, you know, and, you know, think about, you know, how you can make the space work, not just for the home, but for the family living in the home. And so I think it's fabulous that you do this. Why is it so important to you to really alleviate the stress in your client's relationship? Why is that such an important part of what you do? Why is it just not, well, we're going to have this contribute to the design of this home, but instead you really make it a goal to get that stress out of their lives?
Yeah, I think, well, being a single mom, you know, in an ideal world, I would much rather be with my child's father. I think that it would be a lot easier. I think my son would be a lot happier. It's been a couple of years that we've separated, but he's still asking me. In fact, this morning he said to me, "Mummy, you know, you and Daddy liked each other once. Maybe you could like each other enough again to have another baby."
Just want you to just get together. Let's start making babies right now, Mom.
Time is of the essence.
Your biological clock is ticking.
I like the idea of having a brother or sister.
I bought you a teddy bear last week.
But you know, I think, you know, it's deeply impacted him, and he loves me dearly, he loves his dad dearly, but you know, he's at his dad's, he stays at his dad's tonight, and that was another thing that he said to me today was, you know, I'm really sad that I'm not going to be with you. I'm really happy that I'm going to be with my dad. It would be nicer if you were together, you know.
Be a little easier, Mom. Could you snap out of it?
Exactly. So these kind of, you know, I do feel like for him, he would be happier if we were both together. And I think for us each, it possibly in some ways it would be easier. I mean, I know that we were not the right people for each other. And I think that we did make the right decision. We tried very hard. We went through couples counseling for over 2 years, a really long time. We really, really gave it a good chance.
That's good.
Yeah. And that helped us go from kind of me screaming at him and him avoiding talking to us being able to have civil conversations and to be able to communicate. So, you know, we are able to co-parent and that is good, but I do feel like I, if it's possible, and it's not always possible, not everybody is suited to each other. And I certainly think that we didn't really test our relationship well enough and really explore it well enough and have a strong foundation of a relationship before we had our child. So that's on us. But I think if for people who have got a good relationship, but then, you know, these little resentments that build up over time and then sort of start to wear away at that happiness and start to insert that kind of levels of resentment and feelings of criticism and being criticized and all of those things that can really wear a relationship down. If I can help my clients to reduce that, then, you know, I want to do that for people.
I think that's wonderful. And to give you a little assurance, you know, I know we talked about this, but, you know, I'm a mom of a blended family of 24 years. And my dad died a few months ago. My mom had died a couple years ago. So we're busy cleaning out our family home and going through stuff. And I brought the pictures to my daughter's house because we're going to store them there. And there's a wedding picture of me and her father. And I said, Lauren, do you want this? She goes, what do I want that for? She goes, you're not married. Why do I want this? I'm like, I don't know what else to do with it. She goes, throw it out. You know, so they do lose that need for you two to be together. It turned out her daughter really wanted it for some reason because she didn't really believe that me and granddad actually lived together at some point of time. But so they do kind of like get over the need for you and daddy to be together and they realize it. And honestly, better your children should understand that sometimes things don't work out and having two happy parents than having two miserable parents living under the same roof, because the example that you give your children of what a relationship is what you live. So if you live a relationship where you're constantly complaining and calling each other names and cussing at each other and all of that, they're going to grow up thinking that's a normal relationship. And do you really want that? Better you should live apart and have two happy humans giving them the example of what happy is than giving them the example of what miserable is. You know, so it's hard, you know, and there are certainly times when, you know, my stepkids were like, you know, you're not my mother type thing. And, you know, there are times when my kids obviously missed their dad and didn't get to see him as much. But I think in the long run, it was the right decision. And it is what it is. And now they have a bunch of extra family, extra step parents and siblings. And, you know, we're like a big, happy family. So very big, getting bigger by the minute. No, it's pretty awesome. So it can work out. It doesn't seem like it always right then and there, especially when the kids are little, but you know, when they get big, you know, they learn, live and learn, and you know, they understand it more. So
yeah.
So if you think it was the right thing to do, it probably was the right thing to do. But the important thing is that your home doesn't add to the tension or even create tension between a couple. You know, and very often it does, you know. So what you're doing is a blessing and a wonderful, it's just wonderful. It's that you decided to kind of heal the whole family. It's like when I say I'm a family empowerment coach, as opposed to a parenting coach, is because you have to heal the family. I mean, you know, it's not just about parenting your kids. It's about the two of you. It's about how you relate to each other. It's about how you communicate, how you live, what's the atmosphere of your home, and the comfort of your home itself has a lot to do with it, you know. Yeah. So it's a good thing. So is there anything else you would like to add before we get on to how people can reach out to you? Anything else you would like to offer our listeners?
So in terms of, one thing that I've been finding really interesting is the 5 love languages. And I think that could be an interesting thing for your listeners to look into, because, you know, it's a lovely idea that there are 5 different love languages, and each of us has kind of like a primary preference. And I like the idea of exploring that and looking at ways that you can make your home give you something that meets your love language. So the sort of acts of service is my primary love language. And so things like that, the house works really well and functions really well, things like dishwasher, you know, automated things, the heating coming on at the right times and working, functioning, right. Those sorts of things.
Important.
Yeah, those sorts of things make me feel really good and make me feel like, you know, not quite exactly like my home loves me, but it sort of gives that kind of a loved feeling. And I think there are other ways. I think there's words of affirmation is one, and that's one that I think maybe is slightly more tricky to incorporate, but things like having chalkboard wall, right, where you can write messages to yourself, you can write messages to between you as couple and children as well.
Hanging signs and, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's an interesting thing to explore.
It's brilliant. It's really wonderful. And and it is that your home should love you and you should feel loved in your home, you know. So however you interpret that, when you come home at the end of the day, you should come home happy to be there, you know, happy to see your kids, happy, you know. I always say when you come home, you should be as happy to be home and with your kids as a dog is to see you walk through that door, you know. So you should feel that love, you know, as soon as you walk in the door.
Yeah.
So please let everybody know how to reach out to you. And since, of course, I'm in Maryland in the USA and you're in the UK, is your business localized or is it global?
So I offer a home design foundation package, which includes a design your home vision preparation stage. And all of that package can be delivered via Zoom, and so it can be delivered internationally. I have done one project with a client in New York State, where I delivered a similar kind of sketch design package. So the foundation package includes sketch designs collaboratively created with you, and the preparation work, which is all this kind of exploration of your home, how it works for you, how it's not working for you, what you want your lifestyle to be like. And then, you know, then I go through all your preparation work and assess that and understand that and then interpret that into solutions for your space in and then create sketches, which we then go through in a collaborative design session and explore those sketches further and refine them, amend them, totally scrap them all together and start again if necessary, so that you end up with a sketch design that you're really excited to see built but really does meet all your requirements and will work with your home. And that's followed up by what I call the check it out checklist, which just helps you to then use those sketches to take it further and check, double check that it is right for you. So you can use those sketches to speak with structural engineers or with your local building control department and things like that, just to check that what you want to do is okay, it is gonna work. And then, so that whole package, it is currently priced in British pounds, it's £897. I haven't got a dollar version in there, but it's something I could look into.
It's close. It's a little, it'll be a little higher in the US. I think it's probably going to be closer to about like $1,000 probably.
Yeah.
Nine, but still very reasonable. Very reasonable for an architectural design that's as thorough and as thoughtful as yours are. That's, you know, very reasonable. So I love that. So it's just been a pleasure. So how do they find you? Website, social sites? Where can we find you?
So I'm I Architect UK on Facebook, or you can find me on Twitter as Architect Jane. I've also got a YouTube channel, which is iArchitect. I think it's iArchitect UK. I actually don't sure what it's called. I think it's i-architect. Okay. And my website is i-architect.co.uk as well.
Perfect. And I'll put those links in the description of the podcast. So if you go to the podcast and you want to, connect with Jane, which I don't know why you would not want to connect with Jane, you will find those links in the description. So it's just been a pleasure. Jane, I love talking to you and your joy. And I know everyone can hear your beautiful smile. So I've really enjoyed talking, and hopefully we can talk again. So guys, go ahead, Jane. Sorry.
I said, yeah, that would be lovely. It's been really, really great to speak with you as well, Celia. Really good fun.
Oh, I really enjoy it. And everybody out there, I'm grateful that you guys stopped and took a listen as well. And, I hope you really enjoyed learning what Jane's doing a little bit different from your normal architect, and really finding the heart and soul of a home. And remember, if you want to reach out to me and just chat, go to talkwithcelia.com. And we can set up some time to talk. And if you haven't gotten my new book, hop on to Amazon. It's Raising Happy Toddlers. We all want happy toddlers and happy kids, because happy kids make happy parents and a happy home. And it's how to build great parenting skills and stop yelling at your kids. You know, I'm all about stopping yelling at your kids. So guys, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. And we look forward to talking to you on the next episode. Have an awesome day. Here's wishing you peace, love, and tons of laughter. It really is the best medicine. And we'll talk again. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. Be sure to head over to pumpedupparenting.com to grab your free copy of the Patient's Playbook. Wishing there was a manual for your toddler? Well, good news, now there is. You can pick up your copy of Raising Happy Toddlers, How to Build Great Parenting Skills and Stop Yelling at Your Kids, my newest release on Amazon today. Tune in next time for more tips, advice, and strategies as you continue to pump up your parenting and create childhoods that everyone can blossom from. Have yourself a really fun day. Bye-bye.